Tzahoraim Tovim, today's daf is daf Kuf, daf 100. We left off on Yon Gemara. Today's class is daf 100. We left off on 99b, Tzadi Tet Amud Bet. Today's class will be for the Refu'ah, Shalom HaVadachonim, Bichladam, Chaim Dab, Racham HaGadujan, Elam Echad, Mekam Rivkas, Arab HaNamani, Shalom HaSara, David Ben Rachel Yafa, Bador Rivka, 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 רחל בת דינה, ולהבדיל לנשמת דוד בן אליהו, בן אמין בן יצחק, שמעון משער, רינה מקל בדן, בועז בן אברהם דינה, דוד בן אליהו, דינה בת אפרים, שמעון משער, רינה מקל בדן, בועז בן אברהם דינה בת אהרון, תמר ברכה בת אברהם, משה בן רפאל, יוסף אליהו בן יוסף, יצחק בן שלמה, ולהבדיל לרעיון דבורה בת מרים. Okay. We left off on Tzadi Tet Amud Bet 99b, towards the top of the page. We are about maybe 6-7 lines from the top of the page. See where we left off. Or not even Tashema, I think that's where we left off.
Yeah.
About five lines from the top. Tashema. Hayita ketubata 400 zuz. If the woman's ketubah was 400 zuz, this was a case from our Mishnah. Umachera laze bimane, velaze bimane, velacharon bimane, yafe mane vedinar. So let's say she sold one piece of land for 100 to one person, another person for 100, another person for 100, she left with another piece of land for 101. She sells that land that's worth 101 for 100. So she really got 400, but she took an extra dinar from the heir's estate. So from the father's estate. So the Gemara says, Shel acharon batel, the last one is void, v'shel kulan acharon kayam, and all the other ones count. So what does it sound like over here? So over here it sounds like she's doing... We're going back on that concept from yesterday. What we had was the question of, if a person is asked to do the shlichut for somebody, and he does more, he sells more, for example, is that considered you're mosif al dvarav, you're adding on what he said, but the sale counts? Or it's considered that you're ma'avir al dvarav, you're not listening to the instructions, and the sale does not count? Over here it sounds like she's doing shlichut, but she's not following the full instructions, so it sounds like it's ma'avir, it sounds like it's batel. Gemara says, no, over here it's different. Kida amar rav shisha berid rav idi beketine. He says it's talking about small parcels of land. Hachanami, so too over here, it's talking about small parcels of land, and these fields were not all put together. They're not fit to one for one person. So therefore, when the person took upon himself the shlichut, the messaging, to sell these lands, it was not in order to be sold all in one shot, because they're not fit to be put together. They're small parcels of land. It was more fit to be sold individually, and so that's why it's considered as if... she was sent to do this shlichut, but that wasn't the shlichut that she didn't fulfill that shlichut because she sold extra than what she was owed. Okay? The Gemara then continues and says, Pshita, it's obvious. Amar le'echad velo lishnayim. If a person says, I want you to sell this land to one person, this field to one person and not to two people. If he said it like that, Amar le'echad, It's he literally told him, only sell the land to one person, not to two. So if you go and sell this land to two people, the sale is void, because that's not what he told, meaning it's not his fault, it's your fault. He asks you to sell this land of a kor. A kor is 75,000 square amot, we said. You went and sold half of it to one person, half to another. He said, I want you to sell it to one person, not two. You can't do that. But what happens if he just says, the Gemara then asks, Amar le le'echad stama mai. What if he just says, sell it to one person? He doesn't specify, don't sell it to two. So if you go and sell it to two, what's the deen? So Rav Huna Amar, le'echad velo lishnayim. Rav Huna says what he means by one is only to one, nobody else. Rav Chista and Rav Baba Rav Huna, they both say, damri tarvayu le'echad ve'afilu lishnayim. No, one, and even two. He just said one, because that's, you know, an individual is easier to sell it to one. Le'echad ve'afilu le'me'a, and one, you can even sell it to 100. He didn't mean one and excluding a different number. So this is the machloket. So, Iklar Rav Nachman le Surah. Rav Nachman visited the city of Surah.
Selling it to the same one. Not selling the same piece.
No. It's two different lands. Yeah. Two different pieces of land. So it's either selling the whole land to one person or the same land split into two to two people.
Portfolio.
Exactly. So this is the machloket. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman visited the city of Surah. Ole gabe Rav Chista v'rabba Rav Huna. These two rabbis who had the second opinion, that they say even if it's to 100 people, it's fine. They came and visited him, and they said, "Amrulay." They said to him, "Ki ay gavna mai." In this case, what's the din? So Amar Lehu, he said to them, "Le'echad va'afilu lishnayim, le'echad va'afilu le'me'ah." If the guy said one alone, stam, so if you sold it even to 2, even to 10, to 100, it doesn't matter, that all counts, that's good. So Amrule, they said back to him, afagav de ta'ashaliach, even if the messenger makes a mistake, meaning, okay, I understand if you're saying the Baal said X, Y, and Z, and he followed the shlichu, but what happens if the messenger, there's a mistake on the messenger's side? So Amar lehu, de ta'ashaliach luka amina. I wasn't talking about a case of, meaning, what does it mean that the shaliach made a mistake? Let's say he undersold it. He sold it for less than what it was worth. So then whose fault is it then? It's obviously the shaliach's fault. So he said, I wasn't talking about that. Loka amina. I wasn't referring to a case of when the shaliach undersells it. That's not what I'm talking about. So Amrulay, they said back to him, V'ha'amar mor, what Master says, ain ona'a l'karka'ot. There's no such thing as ona'a, right? Ona'a is when a person deceives, he takes advantage of somebody by selling something more than 15%, one-sixth about of the price above the market price. The market price. Exactly. Like price gouging.
Like American Dream, Coke, $6.
Don't say that. But no, because a lot of the commodities, a lot of times in certain places, that, like, for example, you go to an airport, a bottle of water costs like $8, $9. Yeah, but that's what it costs in all airports. So it could be that over there, those, so commodities is a whole different ballgame. But anyhow, this is, we're talking about karka'ot. So that's all for movable things. Over here, the Gemara says there's no ona'a for karka'ot. There's no such thing as ona'a for this price gouging for karka, for non-movable land. So how can you say over here that the guy who undersells it, it's price gouging, meaning, or if he oversells it, it's price gouging, it's land. There's no ona'a by karka. So the Gemara says, hanemile, that's only heched de ta'a ba'ala bayit. If the owner made a mistake, if the owner undersold it, he undercut, meaning he lost out, that's when you can't take advantage of him. But aval ta'a shaliach, sorry, when do we say there's no ona'a by karka'ot? If it's by the owner, right? But aval ta'a shaliach, but if the messenger makes a mistake, meaning if the messenger got this land, the guy told him, go sell it for 100 bucks, and he went and sold it for 85 million. So what happens? Amar le, the owner can tell him, le'takune shedartich velo la'avuti. I sent you not to mess me up, not to screw me and undergo me. I sent you to sell it for 100. You went and sold it for less. I'm not taking that loss. That's not on me. That's your fault. So then the shaliach would have to be messed up. So the Gemara says, "Umina teimra d'shane bin shaliach lebal abayit." How do we know there's this distinction between the messenger and the owner? We're seeing there's a distinction. By the bal abayit, there's more room for mistake. Meaning, there's more room if he goes a little bit more. It's on him. Meaning, it's all on him. So there's no ona'a by karka for the bal abayit, for the owner. The guy can't come and deceive him. If he goes and he wants to sell it for 100, the guy says, "No, it's worth 80," and really it was worth 100. You take advantage of him. He can come back and say, Mechilat, other way around. There is no ona'a by karka. So since there's no ona'a by karka, he can't come and go back and say, no, you sold it for, you underwent. But by the case of the shaliach, though, what do we say? If the shaliach messes up, you can say that. You understand? What does it mean, ein ona'a by karka'ot? Ein ona'a by karka'ot means ona'a does not apply. There's no price gouge problem if it's the bala bayit selling his property. Because you got to know what your land is worth. But if you send a messenger and he messes up, now it's on him. So there is price gouging problems if a messenger sells by accident for a lower price. So the Gemara says, how do we know that? So the Gemara says, Ditnan, as the Mishnah is taught. Ha'omer l'shlucho, if someone says to his messenger, I think it's Mishnah, Masachet Terumot. The Mishnah says, Ha'omer l'shlucho, someone says to a messenger, Tse v'tarum, go and give terumah for me. Torem kedat balabayit. You have to give the amount the balabayit wanted you to give. V'meinu yodea dato b'shel balabayit. What if you don't know how much he wanted you to give? So torem b'benonit chad mi'chamishim. You do the middle ground, right? The Mishnah over there in Masachet Terumot says, there's a guy who's a kamtzan, he's a guy who's a stingy, he gives very little, he gives 1/40. There's a guy who's a benoni, he's in the middle, he gives 1/50. Sorry, the stingy is 1/60, mechila. The benoni, the middle one, is 1/50. And the guy who's very generous, he gives 1/40, right? So 2.5% would be very good, 2% would be benoni, and 1/60, a little bit less than 2%, would be not so great, right? So he says, if you don't know what the balabai wants you to be torem, do the middle. So the Gemara says, "Piched asara, ohosif asara, turmato teruma." If let's say the messenger, he by accident he did 1/40, or he did 1/60, he went above or under. He didn't do the 1/50. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, the teruma counts as teruma. But ve'ilu gabe balabai be'balabala, meaning only 10. If he goes more or less than 10, if he goes over 10, if he goes to 1/30 or 1/70, that's it. You can't cross those lines. Only from 1/40 to 1/60. But by the balabayit, Tanya taught in the Baraita, taram ve'ala biyado afilu echad me'esrim terumato teruma. Meaning, if the balabayit went and was torem, and he took an extra 1/20th, Or one less than 1/20th. Meaning even more than 1/10th less. So it's not 1/40th, let's say it's 1/30th. Or it's not 1/60th, he's giving 1/70th. He's giving more than that 1/10th. By him, trumato teruma. The teruma counts even if he goes more than 20 more. 1/20th more. So what is it trying to teach us? It's trying to show you that Mishnah Meforash and Terumot teaches us that we make a distinction between the balabayit versus the shaliach. The shaliach has a very small border of how much he can go. So it's from 1/40th to 1/60th. If he goes more than that, it's on him. The balabayit, it's up to you. You have to make that own thing on your own. So your terumah, if you pull out extra, you pull out it's all up to you, whatever you give. So therefore, that would be even more. So we see there's a distinction that would count as terumah. There's a distinction clearly from the Masechet Terumot that between a balabayit and the shaliach. That's the idea. Tashema. So the Gemara says, come and listen. Hayitak tubata arba'a me'ot zuz, if the ketubah was worth 400, again, the Mishnah's case, machara la'zeh b'maneh, la'zeh b'maneh, he sold it to 100, she sold the land to 100 for this person, 100 for this person, 100 to this person, ul'acharon shaveh maneh v'dinar b'maneh. And the last person was worth 101, she sold it for 100. She undercharged. So, shel acharon batel, the last one, is void, v'shel kulan macharan kayam, and all the other ones, they count. What does it sound like over here? So over here, she is, in the first three cases, at the very least, she's fulfilling the messaging of the whatever she's supposed to be selling to getting her ketubah. She's fulfilling the shlichut in the first three cases, and we're saying that what for those three cases the shlichut counts. The shlichut counts. Right? Look at Rashi. Ve'i apushe shtarei kfedahi nehi nami deyetomin lo galu da'atayu anna. By the fourth one, she's taking an extra dinar, that one becomes batel. By the first three, what are we going to say? We're saying that really, even though in those three cases, in the fourth case, she ends up giving more, the first three cases, though, are still valid. Those first three cases that she sold the land 100, 100, 100, those all count. So what are we seeing? When she follows instructions, and at the end she adds on, but if she follows the instructions for these three, it counts. Those first three count. So is this not what we're trying to teach us? That really it sounds like it's mosif al dvarav. It's really you're adding on to the balabait's words. The Gemara says no. Amar Rav Shisha b'rei d'ravidi b'ketine. Like we said earlier, it's talking about small parcels of land. It's so this case is different. That she's actually like the way Rashi explained it earlier. The meikara adata dahachinas shaliach. On that mindset, the person became a shaliach because what she was standing there to sell these lands. These were made in small parcels of land. So the way these were made out were in order to be sold like this, individually like that. So therefore, this is not, we cannot learn out, it's not clear from here how we can learn out if it's Mosif Advarav or Ma'avir Advarav. Which one is it? It's not so necessarily clear from here, but essentially this case is talking about small parcels of land.
So her ketubah is okay or no?
So her, the first three she gets, the last one she doesn't get. So she only gets 300. Okay, new Mishnah. Shum hadayanin, shepichetu shtut, o hosifu shtut. Macharan batel. This is a very famous Mishnah. If let's say you have a property, was evaluated, was appraised by the judges, okay? And someone went and sold that property, undervalued it by, let's say, 1/6, 15% about, or hosifustud, or added 1/6, macharan batel. That would be batel. That would sale would be void, because it's considered ona'a. Rashbag omer, Rashbag says, macharan kayam. No, actually, the sale counts, Rashbag says. Imken makuach beitin yafeh. Because if you say it doesn't count, then what's the strength of the beitin? Meaning, what's their strength for? If you were saying that the sale would be void, and we're going to see this on the next amud, it's all going to be all about this. What is the beitin appraising the value of the field going to help us with? Clearly, they have to have some value, so therefore the sale actually counts. Because you have to know what the beitin appraised the value of the field for. The Gemara then says, the Mishnah then says, aval imasu igeret bikoret binehen. If they made, let's say, this type of, when they sold the land, they made a type of like advertising, a letter of inspection that people come after they sell, they send out, it's like a proclamation that it was sold, and people come and inspect the land to see how much it was really worth. So they made one of these type of letters. Afilu macharo shave maneh b'matayim. O shave matayim b'maneh macharan kayam. Even if you sold the land, it was worth 100, you sold it for 200, or worth 200, you sold it for 100, it counts in that case. Since you have an inspection, people came and everyone knows what the land is worth. This guy doesn't know, it's on him. You gotta ask, everyone knows in the town what it's worth. There was an inspection. Okay? So the Gemara comes and says, "Ibayelahu." We have a halakha question. We clearly saw there's a little distinction between the dayanin and the judges and an almana, widow. So the Gemara says, "Ibayelahu, shaliach keman." Who is a messenger like? Is the messenger like the widow that if you make a little bit of a mistake with the sale, right or left, it's batel, it's void, like the case of the one extra dinar? Or is it like the judges, that you have that 1/6, up until 1/6, meaning if I sell it for less, 1/6 less than 1/6 of what it's worth, it's not void. Who is the shaliach like? So flipping the Amud, the Gemara says, Rava Amar Nachman, shaliach kedayanin. The messenger is like the judges. He holds that the messenger, they have up until that 1/6, that shtut. Okay, so anything less than 1/6 is good. Rav Shmuel Bar Misna Amar Rav Nachman, he says in the name of Rav Nachman, ke'almana. No, it goes like the widow. Rava Amar Rav Nachman, Rava said like Rav Nachman, shaliach kedayanin, that the messenger, now they explain the opinions. The messenger, he says, like the judges, that you have until 1/6. So ma dayanin, just like the judges, lav le didu, they're not working, they're not selling the land for themselves. What are they doing? They're praising the land for whoever it is, for the owner. So to af shaliach nami lav le didei. So to the messenger, he's not doing it for himself, he's messaging for somebody else who wants to sell the land. La apuke, coming to exclude an almana le de la dida, excluding the widow, that she is doing it for herself, she's selling it for herself. So them two, the judges and the shaliach, are similar, that's Rava's opinion. And the widow is different. Rav Shmuel Bar Mitzna Amar Rav Nachman, he says, no, Amar Rav Nachman ke almana. He's like a widow. Why? Ma almana yechida. Just like a widow is an individual, af shaliach yechid. So too a messenger is an individual. La apuke, coming to exclude beitin derabim ninu, because they are multiple, they're not individuals. So therefore, that's why he holds that it's like a widow, and you don't even have any room to make a mistake. Okay? Vihilchetan, the halacha is, shaliach ka'almana, that a shaliach is like a widow and he does not have any room to make a mistake. So the Gemara says, umayishna mehaditnan. Why is this any different than that was taught in the Mishnah that we saw earlier on the previous daf? Ha'omer l'shlucho, tse, on the previous amud really, someone who goes out and says to his messenger, tse v'tarum, go and give terumah for me. Torem kedat balabai. He has to give the amount of the balabai. V'imeno yodeh da'ato shel balabai, if he does not know how much the balabai wants him to give, Torem bebeinonit echad mechamishim, he gives 1/50. So the Gemara says, Pichet asara o asif asara, if you went 1/10 down or 1/10 up, Turmato teruma, the teruma still counts as teruma. So what do you see over there? He went up and down, it still counts. We're saying he's like a widow. A widow has no room for leniency. But over there we said the shaliach does have room for leniency. How does this work? So the Gemara says, Hatam, over there, kevan de'ika de torem ba'ain ra'ah. There are some people who give ayin ra'ah. They're stingy. They don't give a lot. They give 1/60, right? They don't give a lot. They're not very generous, right? Ve'ika de torem ba'ain yafa. And there's some that give a lot. No, they give 1/40. So amar le, so the messenger can tell him, la'achi amdatich. I estimated that you wanted to give somewhere in the middle. So that's why over there, it's not batel. So if he gives a little bit less, a little bit more, okay, fine. There's some people give like this, some people give like that. You can't say it's batel. But aval hacha, but over here in the case, let's say, of undercharging, if someone undercharges, if a messenger, he has a land, you give me a land for 100, I'm selling it for 90, I undercharged, I'm losing you money, so for sure over there, ta'utahu, it's a mistake, and the owner can tell him, amar le, lo ibaylach limit'ay, you shouldn't have made that mistake, that's on you now. So it's like very practical, also in business, if somebody gives a person a job to do, I want you to sell this for X, he goes and sells it for something else, that's on you, that's not on me anymore. So that's what we're seeing from this Gemara. Amar,
is almana case all the time, shaliach?
Except for that one case of turma, yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's like almana and they have no room for leniency. They have to do what the balabai tells them to do. Amar Rav Huna,
hired is different than someone having a fiduciary duty, though. If you hire someone, hire a manager, you're hiring and you're paying him, I don't think you can hold him liable.
Right, nachon. I mean, it depends what. Duty, yeah, if you tell him you're getting paid for selling it for this price, and this is what's written down on X, Y, and Z, sell it for this price, and the guy doesn't sell it for that price, sells it for less, tell them, okay, you pay the rest. That's
like
not
the general partner of a partnership has a fiduciary duty to benefit
right?
the partner.
Exactly.
But an employee does not have that.
Right, no. Somebody's working for someone, I guess, I mean, there's for sure there's contract and stuff like that, but generally you're paying somebody and they're bound to make some mistakes. There's some room for leniency there. Amar Rav Huna Bar Chanina, Amar Rav Nachman, Halacha Kedivrei Chachamim. He says the Halacha follows the words of the Chachamim, that we have this din of shtut, right? We said this 1/6, that Ona'ah is this 1/6, right? Rashbag was of the opinion that no, the sale still counts even if you went above 1/6. So the Gemara says, "Veleit leiler Rav Nachman makuach beitin yafeh." Does Rav Nachman not hold of this law, the strength of the beitin? Meaning, why don't we say, "Hey, look at the strength of the beitin. The beitin appraised this land. Why don't you look at? Does he not hold of that? Because he says we hold like the Chachamim that there's shtut, there's 1/6." So the Gemara says, V'ha'amar Rav Nachman says, Amar Shmuel, Yatomim, this is in Masechet Yevamot, we learn this, Yatomim shebao lachlok menichsei avihen. If you have orphans who are coming to split the inheritance, the properties of their father, Beitin ma'amidin lahen apotorpos, the Beitin stands for them
an administrator,
someone to separate for them the property, u'bororin lahem chelik yafeh, and they separate property for each orphan. Higdilu, when they get older, yecholin limchot, they can go back and say, hey, I wanted that property, you gave me the worse one, I want the better one. And they can make some compromise. Rav Nachman dideyama, but Rav Nachman himself says, "Higdilu ein yachonin limchot." Once they get older, there's no more backtracking. You can't go back and say, "Oh, I wanted this one and that one. I wanted that one." De'im ken is a girsa change. De'im ken, because if you say that, makoach beitin yafeh. Then what's the point of the beitin? Meaning, what's the point of the beitin to uphold these administrators if you can just backtrack on it? So clearly, what are we seeing from here? Rav Nachman holds of this thing of makoach beitin yafeh. That the Beit Din has some power, some strength. If you go to them, now they have this strength. They created these laws for you. You can't backtrack on it. So why did he say earlier he does not hold of that? So the Gemara says, La kasha, it's not difficult. Ha de ta'u, ha de lo ta'u. The difference is, in the case of the Beit Din, that was talking about where he does not hold of the Din of Makwach Beit Din. That was talking about the court. The Beit Din made a mistake. So if they made a mistake, we don't say Makwach Beit Din yafeh. That, oh, the Beit Din has this strength. No, they made a mistake. Whereas by the apotropos, the administrators for the orphans, they didn't make any mistake. They were mivarer, they divided out the property for this orphan and for that orphan, the proper amounts for each one. They didn't make a mistake. And over there, we would say, makoach beit din yafeh. So the difference would be, if you made a mistake or you didn't make a mistake, that would be the difference. The Gemara says, id de lo ta'u. If we're talking about a case that there's no mistake, b'ma yecholin limchot, how can the orphans come back and say, oh, I wanted that property. There was no mistake. How can you go backtrack? How can you even think this is hava mina? So the Gemara says, baruchot. It's talking about the different directions. Meaning a person can say, I didn't want the eastern side property, I wanted the western side property. It has, let's say for example, that field has better winds, better rains,
less
whatever,
mountains.
Less mountains, it could be anything. So why did you give me that? So he could have still complained, even though it's not a mistake, he could have said, I wanted that side. He asked Rav Dimi, and Rav Dimi came to Bavel, Amar, Ma'aseh, there was an incident, Asad Rabbi Kedivrei Chachamim, and Rabbi did like the words of the Chachamim, with what, which was Shtut, right? You go 1/6, if you sell for less, more than 1/6, let's say something's worth 100, he sells it for 70, so that's an undercharge, and therefore the sale is void. Amar lefanav, Prata said in front of him, who was the son, Benosho Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Elazar, Ben Prata, who was the son of Prata, Ben Benosho Rabbi Prata Gadol, who was the grandson of Rabbi Prata Gadol. Very interesting why it says all the names, I'm not sure. Imken, Ma Koach Beitin Yafeh. So he says to them, then what's the strength of the Beit Din? If you're saying that he can just that the Beit Din are the ones who upholded this price, they appraised it at this price, and you can come and say no, but it was more than 1/6. So you can call the sales void. So what's the koach of the Beit Din? There's no strength of the Beit Din anymore. So what happened? V'hechzir Rebbe et ha'maaseh. Rebbe retracted his opinion, and they flipped it around. So the Gemara says, Rav Dimi matnehachi. Rav Dimi in Bavel, when he came to Bavel, he taught like that. But Rav Safra, matnihachi, he taught a little bit differently. Maaseh, there was an incident, ubikesh Rebbe la'asot kedivrei chachamim. Rebbe wanted to do like the chachamim, which was the shtut, 1/6, but he didn't do it yet. The previous case was he did it. This case, he didn't do it. Amar lefanav, and in front of him said, Prata beno shor Rabbi Lazar, Prata the son of Rabbi Lazar, ben Prata, who was the son of Prata, ben beno shor Rabbi Prata Gadol, who was the grandson of Rabbi Prata the Great. He said, "Imken makoach beitin yafeh." If you're going to do like the chachamim, the shtut, then what's the strength of the beitin? So the Gemara says, "Lo asar Rebbe damase." So Rebbe didn't even end up doing it. The difference between these two opinions is the first one is he said he did it, he retracted. The second one is no, he didn't even do it. He was thinking about doing it. So the Gemara says, "What are they arguing on?" Lema b'hakam iflagi. Let's say this is the machloket. Mor savar ta'ab devar mishnah chozer. The first opinion said if you make a mistake in a mishnaic teaching, you have to retract. And that's what Rabbi did, the first opinion. Whereas the second opinion, Umor Savar, Eino Chozer, no, you don't have to retract. The Gemara says, no, that's not a machloket. Lo, Dekule Alma, Ta'a B'Dvar Mishnah, Chozer. Everybody agrees, if you make a mistake with Mishnah, you have to be Chozer, you have to retract. Umor Savar, Hachiyav HaMaaseh. Umor Savar, Hachiyav HaMaaseh. Each person, Rav Dimi and Rav Safra, they each understood the incident like this. He understood, Rav Dimi understood that it actually, Rabbi made a halachic ruling and he retracted. Rav Safra said, no, he didn't even make the halachic ruling. He thought to make it, but he didn't actually make it yet. That's the machloket. Amar Rav Yosef says, Amralta, if you have a widow, dezavina, that she sold the husband's estate, achrayut ayatme, the guarantee goes on the orphans. And we're going to explain. Ubeitin dezavin, if the beitin sells, achrayut ayatme, the guarantee goes on the orphans. So, right, Rashi explains this. What does this mean? Im nimset hasadeh gezula, if the field was actually stolen, o meshubedet le'acher, v'tarfa min ha'lokeach, v'chovo, chozer ha'lokeach al yetomim, she'ha'almana shaliach shal yetomim ha'ita. If let's say it was a stolen property, so and this was taken, the buyers come and take it, or so the person who was stolen from comes to take it back, the guy can go back to the orphans and say, the orphans have a guarantee on this. And the widow is selling it, is the shaliach of the orphans over here. So the orphans have the guarantee on them. So the Gemara says this is pretty obvious, right? Pshita, it's obvious. Almana lo itzterichle. We didn't need to teach the case of the widow. Ki itzterichle, we needed the case of Beit Dina, of the Beit Din who sold the land. Ma'od the tema, I would have thought to say, flipping the Amud, kol de zabin mi Beit Dina, anyone who goes and buys property from the Beit Din, adatal me pakle kalahu de zabin. He knows that there's going to be lots of noise. Everyone's going to hear about it. Imagine you buy a property from the Beit Din. Everybody's going to hear about it, and therefore you would think that maybe the guarantee is not on me. So maybe the guarantee is not on the orphans anymore. That's what I would think. So therefore, the Gemara comes to teach us the kamashmalan that no, even if a person buys the land from the Beit Din, still the guarantee is on the orphans. And if it was a stolen land that was sold from the Beit Din, it's on the orphans. The guy can come back to the orphans and say, hey, this land was stolen. The guy took it back from me. So that's what the Gemara teaches. I would have thought maybe there's no guarantee because there's a lot of noise. Everyone knows about it. The Gemara says, no, there still is the guarantee and it's on the orphans. Okay, let's continue. Rashbag Omer Rashbag Segen Ar Mishnah, we said that Rashbag holds that sale, even if it was more than shtut, it counts. Ve'ad kama, okay, how much can someone sell, undersell or oversell? Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Amar Sheshat, Ad Palga, 1/2. If it's 100, 150. Or if it's 200, 100. Meaning you undersell it for 100, that's still okay. Tane Namiachi, we have a brighter just like this. Amar Rashbag. Rashbag says, "Beitin shemachru shavim matayim b'maneh." Sorry, it was 100 to 200, 200 to 100. That's explanation. So Rashbag says, "Beitin shemachru shavim matayim b'maneh." If the Beitin sold the property, it was worth 200 for 100, or shavim maneh b'matayim, or it was worth 100 for 200. Macharan kayam. The sale counts. Why? So this is the opinion of Rashbag. Rashbag is of the opinion that he states that if it's only a half, then therefore that would still be fall under the category of it's not considered necessarily on'ah. Once it's more than half, let's say 100, he sold it for 500, or 300, he sold it for 100. Over there already, now you've gone into a problem. And then even Rashbag would hold over there, that would be a sale would be batel. Okay, I think we'll stop there. We'll do a 1 minute recap on the daf. We started on the Amud Bet, on Sadi Ted Amud Bet. We started with talking about that there is no ona'ah for karka. There's no price gouging when it comes to non-movable properties. But we say that's only on the balabai, on the balabai side. When it comes to the shaliach, if he messes up, it is on his fault, and there is considered ona'a, there is price gouging by the shaliach. Okay. Then the second part, we were talking about mosif versus ma'avir. Whenever the shaliach does a little bit more, is that considered adding on and the sale counts? Or is it going against? We had multiple sides to bring both sides to see, but it wasn't 100% clear what do we go like. And it really depends on what the Baal HaBayit told him and what was done. Then we had a new Mishnah, which really took off onto the next page. We were asking about a shaliach. Is the shaliach like the dayanin? That we explained that there's a new rule of shtut, 1/6. Up until 1/6, selling above or below the market value is not ona'ah. More or less than that is ona'ah. So we said, who is the shaliach like? Is he like the widow that he does not have any room for leniency? Or is like the dayanim, the judges, that they appraise it, they have this room up until 1/6 of leniency? So we brought two opinions, about a machloket, and we explained the machloket why. First opinion said, Rava said, no, it's like the dayanim, like the judges. Second opinion, Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna said, it's like the widow. The first opinion said, why is it like the judges? It's because the judges are doing it for someone else, the shaliach is doing it for somebody else. Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna said that no, the widow is an individual, the shaliach is also an individual, and that's how they explained back and forth. And then when we got towards the bottom of the daf, we got into this concept of makoach beitin yafeh. If you're saying that the beitin has this power, then well, how come you're taking that power away from them? What about the koach of the beitin? So we thought that Rav Nachman doesn't hold of that. Then we saw that no, he really does hold of this din of makoach beitin yafeh. And we explained the distinction was between if they made a mistake versus not, it was the beitin versus the apotropos of the orphans. And we explained that aspect. But really, Rav Nachman holds makoach beitin yafeh. So what is the strength of the beitin if you're just saying that no, the sale is garnished? So therefore, you have to. Clearly understand that distinction to be able to understand the two opinions of Rav Nachman. Okay? Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.